know me, so I want to introduce or tell you a little bit about myself. As Pastor Michael said, I had the privilege of working with him in children's ministry at the church that we attended. I saw firsthand what the Spirit of God can do through a willing heart as I watched Pastor Gertie minister not only to children, but to adults alike, and how through him, people grew in their relationship to God. And it was such a privilege for me to be able to witness that firsthand. Amazing. I do have some relationship with Tel Hai here. This isn't my first time being here. Long, long time ago, I was a counselor here for 1 year. It completely wore me out. The schedule that you guys keep and the things that you do throughout the day was too much for my system to handle, but I had a wonderful time. It was here at Tel Hai also that Pastor Gertie put me on a horse. Now, that's a very large animal, and I don't know if anybody's taking horseback riding as one of their skill classes, but the whole time I was on top of that animal, I'm praying in the spirit that it behaves, you know, because it seemed like that day they all wanted to go into the woods and buck brother, what was it, Buzz? Bucked him off. And I'm praying the whole time I'm on this horse. I told Pastor Michael, give me the weakest, the oldest horse that was here for me to ride, you know.
What you were wearing, bro, on the horse.
I was dressed in a full Native American chief costume for the drama that we did that time. Both my children went to this camp, and my grandson is here for the first year. So two generations now are coming to the Tel Hai camp. Also, Stephen proposed to Kasha here at Tel Hai, right outside in the outside chapel. So I have a little bit of connection with Tel Hai, but this is actually the first time that I'm able to share during a morning chapel. So again, another memory and experience of Tel Hai that we're going to have here today for me. I was thinking about the camp and all the things that you guys do and how wonderful it is to be here and what a great time it is and the prayer and the preparation that Pastor Michael and the staff puts in to make this a wonderful experience for you. But the real purpose for all those hours of prayer and prep, for the sacrifices that each one of these counselors make from their jobs or their daily lives to come up here to be with you for this week is for one reason. And it's just one reason. It's so that you will be in an atmosphere where you can encounter God. That's why. They want so desperately for you to know the Savior. They want so desperately for you to know the God who created you, who loves you, who wants to have a relationship with you. That's why they do all of this. Every reason. But I got to thinking, what happens when camp's over? Are these encounters and these experiences just for camp? Oh, this is great, man. We're here with godly counselors who show us godly examples, and we're surrounded by the Word of God in our devotions, in our cabin devotions, in the chapels, and the evening services, and we're surrounded by worship and praise, and we're surrounded by nature which declares the glory of God. All these things are great, but what happens when we leave here Friday? And we go home, we go back to our daily routines. Pretty soon you'll be going back to school. You'll be surrounded by the television, your phone, video games, maybe some friends that don't believe in God, maybe some family that doesn't believe in God. What happens then? Is it possible to still encounter God in the everyday? Or is God just reserved for these special times when we go to camp? Or that special service when we feel all tingly because God's presence is very heavy? Is it only just for them. I'd like to just talk to you just for a little bit about a story in the Bible about a man, an ordinary man, who had an encounter with God in his everyday life, in the ordinary. And that's the title that I kind of, if I was going to make a title for this service or for this sermon or message, whatever, it would be Encountering Jesus in the Everyday. So if I could, I'd like to just read you this 6th verse story. It's found in Mark, and it's about a man named Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. That was his problem. He had blindness. But I don't want you to focus in on that, because the problem or the need that Bartimaeus had is very unimportant. It's insignificant, because each one of us has a need. Each one of us desperately needs Jesus. And if we have Jesus in our heart, guess what? We need more of Jesus. We cannot get enough of Jesus. So each one of us has a need. So I want you to put yourself in the place of Bartimaeus in an everyday life, your everyday routine. And this is what how the text goes. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. An everyday guy. I bet you going to that road was his daily routine. He probably got up, he probably had his oatmeal or his Captain Crunch or whatever, and he went to the roadside, and that's where he stayed all day long. And he had an encounter with God. And I want us together to look at this and maybe see some points or some things that might help us to be able to encounter God in our everyday situation. But what does an encounter of God look like or feel like? Is it what we expect? Is it that tingly feeling we get down the back of our neck when God is here? Or is it that little moment in our daily life when we see something about God we never saw before? When he reveals a little bit of his character? Is it that time when we feel God leading us somewhere or leading us away from somewhere? Is it God talking to us about an opportunity or making us realize a blessing that he has poured out upon us? All these different things are little encounters of God. I have a question for you. Where are some places that, other than church, do you think that you could encounter God? School? Here? Okay. Home? Anywhere. And that was a hard thing for me to grasp at first, that encounters with God can happen anywhere. You know, we know the song that God has the whole world in his hand, right? And we know that God is everywhere, all right? So if we know that God has the world in his hand, we know that God has the countries in his hand, right? So God is in Germany, God is in France, and God is in the United States, and God is in those places. Well, if God is in the United States, he's in every state, right? Let's break this down into a level that we can really grasp. He's in every state. Now, how many states? Anybody here from Delaware? All right, some kids from Delaware. How about New Jersey? New Jersey, okay. Pennsylvania, of course. A lot from Pennsylvania. Anybody from somewhere other than Maryland? How about Maryland? Nobody from Maryland, okay. Where are you? Where are you from? Virginia. Okay. Anywhere else? Any other state that somebody's from? Yes. Romania. Oh, okay. That's not a state in the United States, but awesome. Yeah, cool.
Massachusetts.
Okay. So God is in all those different states, right? Now think about your neighborhood. Is God in your neighborhood? Yeah. Is God here in this room? Is God right here? How about right here? How about right there? How about right over there? So God is not this. It was a hard thing for me to understand, Pastor Gertie, that wherever I was, God was there. God was right with me at any moment. So if God is with me at any moment, that means the possibility to meet with God can happen at any time. See, for Bartimaeus, he was on the road coming outside of Jericho. Jesus was on the same road. He wasn't out in Judea somewhere on another road. He was right where Bartimaeus was. Jesus is right where you are at every moment of every day, no matter where it is. I've had experiences with God and little moments with God in all kinds of weird places. I know one time my grandson and I were walking down the middle of the stream, and we were looking at the fish and we were looking at the turtles, and I felt God just speak to me about his creation and the wonders of nature and his creation, all that he has created. It was a moment with God. I enjoyed it. We were on the deck the other day, and it had just rained, and all of a sudden a rainbow all of a sudden just went boom, and it was right there. And Nathan turns to me and he goes, Pop, he says, that's God's promise. And I said, hallelujah, yes it is. And we talked about God's promises, and then I thought about other promises that God had. A moment with God, I was encountering God right at that moment. I've had moments at work, and I work on wrecked cars. That's what I do for a living. I fix wrecked cars. And I had a wreck. We were at the shop, and a guy came in, and he had just been diagnosed with cancer. He had a year to live. And I felt God speak to my heart to pray for him right in the middle of the auto body shop. And we prayed for him, and I prayed for him that God would work his will through his life. That was 2.5 years ago. The doctors only said he had a year left. Now, I don't know what God's plan for his life is, but he's still here. An encounter with God. And very recently, Brenda and I were in Aldi's the other day, and I felt God speaking to me in the middle of a grocery store. Isn't that the strangest place to have an encounter with God? In the middle of a grocery store. And I felt God speak to me in the grocery store, and I looked at my wife, and she said, go ahead, do it. And I believe God was telling me to do something in the middle of Aldi's. And we went and did it. I had an encounter with God in the middle of a grocery store. I want you kids to know that the possibility for you to have an encounter as soon as you walk out that door, as soon as you go back to your cabin, as soon as you go home, is always there. Grasp that. The possibility for an encounter is always there. You know the great thing? We seek God and we want more of Jesus. But guess what? He wants more of you. Did you know that? He wants an encounter with you. And that was the craziest thing. The God of the universe, the God who created everything, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, despite the way I am, despite my shortcomings and my failings and my sin, God wants an encounter with me. That's why he sent Jesus, so that way would be made, that I can have an encounter with him. I can have a relationship with him. He loves you so very, very much. So the first thing that we see in the story of Bartimaeus is that Jesus is on the same road we're on. That possibility to have an encounter with him is all the time, everywhere. There's another thing that happens when Bartimaeus is sitting by the thing, and I think these are things that will help us have encounters with God outside of these camps and outside of church, is that when Bartimaeus was sitting there, it says that he heard that it was Jesus. He heard that it was Jesus. In other words, he got sensitive to the presence of God. He was sensitive to now that God in the form of Jesus was coming down that road. It was on the same road that he was. I think so many times we miss opportunities to meet with God because we're not sensitive to what God is doing or what God is how God is moving. We need to continue to grow in our ability to sense when God is moving. Now, I got a little example for you. Jesus says in his word that he's the shepherd and we're his sheep and that his sheep know his voice, right? Well, can I have Brother Jeremy come up here for a minute? And I'm going to have Stephen come up, if he can. How many know Brother Jeremy? Right? How many love Brother Jeremy? Huh? You know, I knew Brother Jeremy when he was that big. When he's big. Did you know Brother Jeremy even lived with us for about 6 months? You remember that? Huh? I remember that. He stayed with us for 6 months. And, you know, of course, Stephen is my son. Well, I have to admit that I haven't seen Jeremy for years and years and years, and I didn't recognize his voice. If he had talked to me, you know, without seeing him, I wouldn't have remembered what Jeremy's voice sounded like. You know what I mean? It would have taken me a while, and I wouldn't have been sensitive to who he was. I wouldn't have been attuned to who he was. Now, Stephen, I can't get rid of him, right? No, I see him all the time. You know, I know his voice. I could hear his voice across the room, and I knew that it was Stephen. The same thing with Jesus when he says, "My sheep know my voice." The only way that we're going to be able to know God's voice and be sensitive to when he's around and ready to move is if our ears are tuned to what his voice sounds like. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is if we spend time with him. So I'm going to just have a little thing here. Jeremy, I want you to kind of, have you ever played Simon Says, you know, that kind of game? All right. Well, I want you to just start giving commands in your voice. Okay. Of little, you know, maybe raise your hands, just little scenes. And I want you to focus in on Jeremy's voice. All right, I want you to be sensitive and tune in to what Jeremy's voice is telling you to do or say, okay?
Not with Simon said.
You just give them instructions because you are Simon, you know. All right, so he's going to continue to do that. And just go ahead and start, just right. Very quietly. We're not going to get super loud. Just. Give them the right things.
Yeah.
All right, you're not trying to trick them up.
Wiggle your ankle, your left ankle.
All right. All right, now Stephen, you might not know Stephen's voice. Go ahead and keep going, Jeremy. You might not know Stephen's voice as much, but he's going to start giving you commands too. All right, so Stephen, start giving them commands. Now you're going to try to focus in on what Jeremy's saying, not what Stephen's saying. All right, now, Brother Dan, go ahead and start giving a few little commands there. Sister Kashi, go ahead and give a few commands there. Brother Cody, go ahead and give him a couple commands in the back there. Just
touch your nose, blink.
All right. Was that difficult to do? It wasn't? I got lost after the second person came in. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Bartimaeus became sensitive that God was on the move. He realized that Jesus was on the same road that he was, and his ears were attuned to what was taking place. There's only one way that we're going to be attuned to know what God is doing at a specific moment in time, and that's to spend time with him. So what we want to do is, this is the kind of the first step that I think will help us have encounters with God when we leave camp this week, is to continue to do the things that we did at camp. All right? So at camp, we have time for Bible, right? You're opening your Bibles, you're having devotions, you're seeing what God's Word says, right? You're reading and learning about God's character. You're spending time in praise and worship. You're spending that time when you're quiet and you're listening to what God might have to say to you, all right? You're in praise and worship. You're in prayer. Do you have prayer time here at camp? Right? There's times when you are praying to God at camp. So continue to do the things that you did at camp when you get home. Okay? That'll help you be sensitive to when God is moving or speaking you into the middle of the creek or into the middle of Aldi's. You know what I mean? You'll hear God is on the move. You'll hear God speaking to you. The second thing is that when Bartimaeus was sitting there, and now his ears are attuned that God's on the move. God is here. The next thing he did was he screamed out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, when he said that, he was affirming that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't say, "Yo, hey, buddy, hello, whoever you are there that all the commotion's about, here." He was in faith declaring that Jesus was the Messiah. And I think the next thing that we need to do is when we want to have an encounter with God, we've got to speak words of faith. We have to speak words of faith because what ends up happening, and I see it with a lot of children, I see it with even more adults, everybody likes to complain and grumble about everything. If it's sunny outside, it's too hot. If it's rainy outside, we wish it was hot. If it's wintertime, we wish it was hot. If it's summertime, we wish it was winter. You know, if I've got $3, I wish I had $5. You know, it seems like the culture around us is constantly wanting to grumble and constantly wanting to complain. Bartimaeus, when he heard that God was on the move, he didn't say, "Oh, I can't see, I can't find him, I can't." He spoke out words of faith, of Jesus, you know, Son of David, realizing that his answer or his hope was in Jesus. He didn't focus in on his problem, but he focused in on his solution. He didn't sit there and worry about that he was blind because he knew the solution was right there. And that's what he focused in. So I think the next thing we need to do is get into the habit of speaking words of faith, words of promise, things that God has put in his word that we can declare about who we are in him, about our situation, about our future in him, all these things. And so I need your help for a little example, I guess. How many like to clean their room? Right? Who are these kids? Huh? You're doing a fantastic job, brother. All these kids like to clean their room? Really? Is there anybody here that hates to clean their room? All right. So it's about half and half. I take that back. So there's a job that we have to do or a situation to clean in our room. All right, now how many and I'm going to use two examples here, and I want you to think about it just for a second as I'm talking about. So you have to clean your room. Your clothes are all over the place. Your toys or your belongings are all over the place. The bed's unmade and everything. Your mom says, "Hey, Susie, Billy, Joey, Fred, you know, I want you to go clean your room." But it's a perfect day outside. Your friends are gathered outside. They got their bikes. They got their, you know, skateboards, whatever. You're ready to go. First thing, "Oh man, I don't want to clean this room." You know, we start complaining about cleaning the room. So what I want you to do is I want to ask if five people could find something positive to say about cleaning your room. All right, just think about that for a minute. Next thing you know, how about, I know we have a very picky eater in our family, and we'll have, Mama will make dinner and we'll have dinner. And we'll put the dinner plate out there, and if it's not pizza or chicken nuggets, we're in for something, okay? So if it's, say, if we got something like macaroni and cheese or something like that, oh, my goodness. Oh, I hate macaroni and cheese. Oh, my goodness. I don't like this. The complaining starts. I want five other people to say, pretend you have a dinner in front of you and it's the worst dinner that you can ever imagine. It's everything that you don't like. Come up with five things that you could say positive about that dinner, all right? So now going back to the room, give me one positive thing that you could say about cleaning your room. So you'll do it now? Okay, you're just going to get it done and over with, all right? Cleaning your room. All right, you end up with the end product is a clean room, right? All right, that's something positive. You have a clean room, yes. You'll feel better, is that what she said? Okay, you'll want to spend more time there, right? Because it's all cleaned up, right? All right? Yes, in the purple. It's easier to find stuff then, okay? All these things are about the end product of the room, okay? But what about, are you thankful that you have a room? Huh? Did you forget about that? Are you thankful that you even had a room? What about, are you thankful that you had clothes to wear? Are you thankful for the belongings that you had there? Are you thankful for parents who want to teach you responsibility? Huh? See how sometimes we overlook the things that we need to be thankful for, to speak out the positive, to not look at the situation, but to look at something positive, how God can use that, how God can show us something through that, how God can give us a thankful heart for those things. What about the dinner? You got the worst dinner in the world. Give me some positive things that you could think about this dinner. Yes. It's what? It's food? We got some food, right? I mean, no matter what it is, I've got some food. I would say that that's better than not having any food, wouldn't you? All right, somebody else. Yes, in the dark right there, the glasses. Yeah. Real high. It's healthy, right? It's going to keep us sustained. It's going to keep us moving forward, okay? Anybody else? One more. What's that? Oh, you're not even going to eat it, okay? Well, he's being polite, but I don't know if that... But how about a mom or a dad or a grandma who's even fixed the food for you, right? And who went to the grocery store to get the food for you, who had to work hard to pay for the food for you to eat all so that you could see. See, it takes a lot of work to be able to speak words of faith in a situation when sometimes things aren't all that great. It's hard to say, you know what, God is in control when and God's got a plan when things around us don't seem like there is a plan. Maybe you're going to a new school. Maybe you've had someone in your family pass away. And things aren't always comfortable or always the way we would want it to be. It's hard to speak out words of faith and to look positive on that and say that God is in control of this and God is going to take care of me through this. Speaking words of faith is what Bartimaeus did. He spoke words of faith. When Bartimaeus started to shout out, "Son of David," he realized God was on the move. He's speaking out words of faith. His attitude wasn't focused on his problem, but he was focused on the solution. Jesus was the solution. Guess what happened? Everybody around him said, "Yeah, Bartimaeus, go. Go. It's your time. It's your..." No. People, the crowds around him tried to rebuke him for shouting out. They didn't want him to meet with God. They didn't want him to have a moment with God in his everyday life. There is one out there that doesn't want you to have a moment with God. The enemy, the devil, does not want you to meet with God at school. Because if you meet it with God at school, what if other kids start meeting with God at school? What if the whole class started meeting with God? And we're declaring His promises and declaring His salvation to the other classes. God does not want you to know or have a moment with God in your family or in your home. Because what if that's contagious? What if your neighbors started to hear about Jesus and their lives got changed? Don't dare, adults don't do it at work. Do not share God at work. Because what if other employees' lives were changed because you had the courage to share Jesus at work, that you had a moment with God at work? So the devil doesn't want you to have an encounter with God, and he will throw everything at you so that you won't. And when you get home, you're going to have some of the distractions that Pastor Gertie made sure you didn't have here. Guess what's going to be there in the living room? The TV. Guess what you're going to have as your third hand? Because I know that the folks in my family, the phone, the cell phone is like a third hand coming out of their side. It's always there. Always. He's going to use your cell phone. He's going to use the TV. He's going to use the video game. He's going to use whatever he can to keep you from having that encounter with God. And you know what Bartimaeus did when they tried to hold him down? He shouted even louder. Huh? He shouted loud. He said, No. I am not missing my moment with God. I am not giving up my moment with the God of the universe to play Atari. I am not giving up my moment with God so I can watch this stupid video on YouTube, on the television. He shouted even louder. He shouted even louder because God was that important. So what do we do when the distractions are there? What do we do when, you know, we want to watch a TV show or we'd rather do this? Remember camp. Remember how God spoke to you here. Remember, Israel always remembered the works of God. They would set up monuments in the desert and stuff so that they would always remember what God had done for them. Remember what God has done for you this week and that He wants to continue to do it with you when you're home and when you're in the middle of the creek and when you're in the middle of Aldi's. Don't let the distractions hold you back. The end of the story comes, and Bartimaeus, he knows God's on the move. He starts declaring words of faith, focusing in on not his problem or not his need, but on his solution. And let me tell you, Jesus is always the solution. For whatever it is you go through, God is always the answer. Distractions came, he pressed in even harder. He said, no. That's what I want. Jesus is what I want. So he moved him every further. So we get to the end of the story, and they come up to blind Bartimaeus, and we can be aware of all these things. And they said, come, he's calling you. Well, Bartimaeus, he just sat there, and he said, nah, I don't really feel like doing it. I'm kind of comfortable here, and even though I know God's on the move, and even though I know he's my answer, and even though these people are telling me not to go, you know, I think I'm just going to sit right here, and it's a lot of effort to get up and go to Jesus. Ultimately, if you want an encounter with God, if you want to encounter God every day in your ordinary day, you've got to do something. You've got to get up, and you've got to walk to Jesus, because I believe he's calling you. He's always calling us. He's always calling us to have that moment with him. But so many times we miss it. We miss it because we don't take the effort. We don't do our part in spending that time with him. We don't take our part in seeking him. Because he promises that if we seek him, we'll find him. So Bartimaeus had to get up and he had to no matter how hard it might have been, because remember, he couldn't see. But that's not important, because spiritually, we all need to be touched by Jesus so we can see. But he was struggling to find Jesus. I'm sure he fumbled through the way. You have to do your part. You have to spend time with him. You have to seek him. Because we all need Jesus. How many here would say that they need Jesus? No matter how long you've walked with the Lord, no matter how long you've been a Christian, if you've asked Jesus into your heart a long time ago, maybe some here have never asked Jesus into their heart. They've never had that first encounter with God and his Spirit. I believe that he's calling you. I believe that he is always calling us into that deeper relationship with him. He never wants us, you know the great thing about God, he takes us right where we are, but he never wants us to stay there. He accepts us where we are, but then he wants to take us by the hand, and he wants to have these little encounters with us through our entire life that show us him and teach us about him and are used by him. Pastor Michael is an example of someone who has encounters with God all the time. I want to be like that. If you want somebody to look up to, if you want somebody to admire, look at these folks. Look at the counselors. Look at those that are walking with God and that are experiencing God every day, in every moment. I want you to go, when you go to your quiet time and you're with your counselors again, ask them. Say, tell me an encounter you've had with God. Let them share some of the times in everyday life that they've had these little encounters with God. The very end of the story is that Bartimaeus, did anybody know what happened to Bartimaeus at the end of the story? Yes. He got healed. Just like you sang this morning, when the Spirit of God is in the room, things change. When you have an encounter with God, something changes. Something in your heart changes. Something in your perspective changes. Your love grows for one another. A life is changed. A life is put from darkness into light. A life is taking from one that is always complaining to one that's always thankful. With every contact and every encounter we have with God, something changes. And his need was met. Bartimaeus' need was met. I can stand here with all confidence and say that as we press into Jesus, your need will be met. I believe it with all my heart, whatever it is. Sometimes we go to a school or a new school and we're a little afraid. We need some courage. Go to Jesus. He'll make you brave. Maybe you've got a project in front of you. You don't know how you're going to get it done. You don't know how you're going to do it. God will give you strength. God will give you wisdom. God will give you the tools that you need to do what you have to do. God is the answer. Because when it's all said and done, he loves you so much. He wants the very best for you. And he wants to have that relationship with you. So if I could, just as we close, I'd like to just say a little prayer. I guess Pastor Michael will come back up, or I don't know what happens then, but let's just say a little prayer, and just maybe we could have an encounter with God right now. And I don't mean as a group, but maybe individually. As you close your eyes just for the last couple minute or so, and the music just plays, that you could have an encounter with God right now, right here. He could reveal something about himself to you. You could share something with him that's been on your heart. Maybe you haven't shared it with anybody else this week. Maybe something's been bothering you all this week, and you need to tell somebody. Maybe you've never even accepted Jesus into your heart. Maybe this is your first time even hearing about Jesus or what Jesus has done this week, dying on a cross for our sins so that we could have that relationship. So I'm going to be quiet just for about 30 seconds, and then I'm going to say a prayer, and then we'll close. But just take a moment. Thank Him. Father, I thank You this morning for who You are. I thank You in Your great love for us that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on a cross to take my punishment for the sins that I have done and for the sins that I'll commit. That He paid that price so that our relationship could be restored. That the possibility to encounter You in my everyday is now available to me, Lord. I thank You so much for that. And Father, my prayer today for each one of these children is that they would continue not only here at camp, but all the days of their lives, have these little meetings with You, the times when they encounter You, Lord God, and You reveal Your love and You reveal Your plans and You reveal Your glory to each one of them. Father, that their list of memories and little times of encounters with You, Lord, would surpass mine by thousands and hundreds of thousands. We thank You for this time. We give You glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we? I know that there's two tribes here, and that's a thing at the camp, and I remember all that. But as one tribe, can we just give the Lord a shout of praise right now? Can we lift up anointing?